your day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Cody Cup, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news, and as you know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Alliant Energy, powering beyond.
So we got a jam-packed show, and we're doing it up a little differently today. We have TJ sitting in and helping us out today. Ogama's not going to be able to make it today. And then we also have Heather Keeler stopping in, and she has a guest, and we'll be talking a little, Leonard Peltier and things that are going all around in Turtle Island. And then, of course, we're going to end up with Wendy's award-winning Sacred Animal section. So we're always excited to do that. There's a couple things going on, and one is I want to figure out if I'm related to that guy, TJ. TJ, why don't you introduce yourself before I start talking to you and Wendy? Oh, you're muted here. Let me unmute you. Oh, there you go.
Hold on. There you go.
Go ahead, TJ.
Hello, everyone. Bonjour. My name's TJ Turner. I'm a descendant of Kawabab Odonokog, the White Earth Nation in northern Minnesota. My native name is Bwajige. It means he's a dreamer. Right. Thanks for having me on today.
Right on, and thanks for being on. We want to talk about freeing Leonard Peltier, but also that's we can touch a little bit about the news. And one of the news, TJ and Wendy, I'm trying to figure out if I'm related to that dude from Oneida who won that $316 million, him and his wife, in Wisconsin there.
Of course, everybody's trying to figure out whether they're related to him or not.
I think there's going to be a lot of cousins coming out of the woodworks.
Exactly. Illegitimate brothers and sisters showing up on the doorway.
Oh, there will be many, many relatives showing up. That's just how we roll. There's Heather Keeler, TJ, and Wendy had a Free Leonard Peltier happening at the – it looked like the Capitol steps or somewhere down there. I was watching that broadcast again. TJ and I in the third segment will be talking and taking phone calls about specifically this Leonard Peltier and why he's still in prison and the things that that are truly unjust. So we're gonna talk more about that. Wendy, how are things in New York there?
Things are great. The weather's fantastic, although, I've been away from New York for 22 years now. And, when I come back here and I spend a little bit of time and the temperatures is like, 28, 35 degrees, and people are crazy here. Like, they have sweaters on their dogs here, where, back home in Minnesota, it's like, the dog doesn't get a sweater till it's like, eight. So it's all relative, and everybody's freezing here except me.
Wow. Yeah. Hey, it was we talk about a couple other things here. There's a few athletes, TJ. I don't know if you're aware of this, but there's a few athletes that are in the Olympics that are Native American descendants, and one of them is from Bemidji. Did you see that?
I just noticed that. It's really exciting news.
Exactly. Wendy, we're always representing here. And one of my next incarnations of doing radio is, I'm a big baseball fan, and I'm going to be doing some documentary work on Native American baseball players because, I love baseball.
That's fantastic. Do you know offhand, Robert, if there are any Native American baseball players in the Hall of Fame?
Oh, there's many. I can think of a couple right now. Chief Bender, who is a big pitcher, Hall of Fame pitcher from the, I think, the 19-teens and 20s. And he was, I think he was from, if I'm right or wrong, he's from up north. I think he was White Earth originally.
I think he is White Earth, actually.
Yeah. And yeah, so that's cool. And we know we have a son-in-law whose brother used to pitch in the majors too, but he won't make the Hall of Fame, but he made probably a $50,000 or 50,000 times the money that Chief Bender made back in the day. But, you know, he was an all-star, Josh Johnson, who played for many teams and just retired about 4 or 5 years ago. But he's a Minnesota boy, too, and I think he's Ojibwe, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, our son-in-law is, so he must be, too, enrolled up there.
Yeah. Interesting. But,
yeah, so, yeah, it's crazy. You know, and we are really, you know, at this point now, back to Leonard, is we're really at this point where it's now or never. He's 77 years old, and I always kind of talk about this, but really briefly, and TJ and Wendy, I just say, you know, there's been so many presidents that said that they were going to free him and they didn't. And there was many different reasons, whether the FBI threatened Obama or is true, or the Secret Service or all these things that are myths or whatever. It's surprising because there was such a good vibe heading towards his removal in the early 90s when Clinton was president. And, yeah, it's just heartbreaking.
Yeah, it's way overdue. He's, you know, nothing that he did back in the day was ever proven or, you know, can stand on its own two legs. So there is skepticism and, you know, it's terrible. It really is. I don't understand it. And hopefully, you know, he does have COVID also, and I hope he's doing okay. Although I think we heard about that about last week. So hopefully by this time now he's turning a corner and feeling better and his symptoms are better. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. It's very sad.
Well, there was a lot of things happening, and one of the things today, if you listen on a progressive radio station that has Tom Hartman, I know Tom Hartman talked about it today, which is he's the number one national progressive person all over the country, and he's here on all the stations that we're on in Milwaukee and Chicago and Madison and the Twin Cities. Tom Hartman's a national progressive radio host, and he had a big segment about it today, and we just can't help but keep on pushing this forward. Yeah, TJ, do you got any last minute thing here before we take a break?
No, I think that it seems like now's the time, especially, I mean, it seems like every time has been the time, but we're starting, what was it we saw today? There were protests in New Mexico and Rapid City and Florida and even as far as Germany.
There's
information being put out in protests to free Leonard.
Yeah. Well, we'll get more in depth in that in the third segment. We're going to have State Representative Heather Keeler on with a guest, and I'm just going to hand over the show to her when we get down here because, you know, Wendy, I'm really old and I need all the help I can get. So it'd be great to have Heather and her guest on and talking about things that are important to everybody. And that's why we love Heather Keeler, because she's a go-getter, right, Wen?
Oh, absolutely. She's really come into her own, and she's doing the work. She's excited about it. She has a lot of enthusiasm, and she's just really wants to take care of matters that are really important. So it's fantastic. Yeah, we love to have her on. Anytime she shows up, it's fantastic.
Well, I don't know if she'll talk about it, but there's going to be a surprise host on Monday, next Monday, Wendy, and maybe she'll talk a little bit about that too. But we're excited to support Heather Keeler and all the great work that she's done and is doing, and We're just so blessed here in Minnesota to have this strong Native woman. Hey, we'll be right back after this short break. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
Aho, relatives. My name is George McCauley, Omaha Nation. I'm a citizen of the Omaha Nation in Nebraska, but reside in the Twin Cities area. As we head into wintertime, many of us will be back together indoors. It's important to make sure you receive your COVID booster shot. Those 65 and over are recommended to receive their booster dose. Older Americans are more at risk for complications for COVID-19. So get your booster shot to make sure you stay safe and healthy this winter. All three COVID vaccine boosters have been approved. Find a vaccine site by calling 651-304-9986 or go to this website, vaccineconnector.mn.gov. 651-304-9986 or go to vaccineconnector.mn.gov.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex. Recording sexual acts without permission. Hurting someone because of their sexual orientation. Ripping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger. Purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Well, we have Heather Keeler, and Heather does more. I don't know if Heather's like borderline workaholic, but she does more than is a state representative, and she has an organization that we haven't really talked a lot about, but it's called the Two Feathers Project, and I really want to get Heather on to talk about that and quickly invite her a youth guest. So welcome, Heather Keeler.
Thanks, Robert. It's always so good to be here. Like, I'm so excited to be able to talk about something different. I love having legislative updates, but I am so much more than just a state representative. I'm a business owner. And so kind of putting my other hat on right now, I started Two Feathers Consulting in April because for over 20 years, people had been asking me to do keynote conversations, equity conversations, and really digging into looking at implementation strategies on how to be more equitable in healthcare and education. And so and community engagement. So that's why I'm here today. One of the projects that we're working on is actually in the state of North Dakota around homelessness, and specifically around youth homelessness. As many of you probably know, I care a lot about this area on the Minnesota side. And so it's nice because I live and work in a border city. It's really nice to be able to do this work in North Dakota as well. But what we know is that when we do work that is focused on our youth, it is extremely important that our youth lead this conversation. You know, I am here as a guiding force, not a decision maker, which is actually really nice. And so what I've done is I've invited my Linda to join me today to talk a little bit about the Youth Action Board and how people can get involved if you live in the state of North Dakota. We'll talk a little bit about the project, and hopefully it inspires maybe other states to engage in efforts like this. But for the short amount of time that we have today, that's what I hope to chat about.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, introduce your guests and let's start the chat, huh?
Sure. Yeah. So I always love the takeovers, right? Like we can talk maybe more about the takeover that we'll have next week as well. But today I have brought my Linda with me. She is an individual that is one of the leadership roles in the Youth Action Board. So thank you, my Linda, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So let's just start out super conversational. This isn't going to be like too heavy or too deep, but let's just start. Like, tell us a little bit about who you are, and then we'll kind of roll into what your role is in the Youth Action Board.
Okay. So my name is Mylinda Turner. I have been a part of different organizations for the last 4 or 5 years. I do a lot of advocacy work. And what got me into the advocacy portion of everything was I myself was homeless. And so I wanted to be able to be a voice for those who didn't have one. Because I know during the time that I was homeless, I did not have my voice. So a lot of the time there was a lot of people speaking for me. And that got very chaotic at times because most of the time my voice wasn't being heard. And it's just because I didn't know how to speak up for myself or know which places to get the information or get the help from. And so once I got older, I was like, okay, enough is enough. I think that there should be people who've actually experienced homelessness speaking about homelessness instead of people who are just there to help, if that makes sense. So that's really what got me to be a part of this board. Yeah.
I love it. Isn't it great, right? When our youth steps up and says, I needed somebody to do this for me while I was in this situation. And instead of just like complaining about it or being upset about it, we have this next generation that's stepping up and engaging and being part of the shift and the change. And so it's wonderful to see. So, Mylinda, can you tell us a little bit about what is the Youth Action Board?
Yeah. So the North Dakota Youth Action Board, what we're trying to do is instead of having those adult voices, we're now having youth voices. So people who've actually experienced homelessness as a youth, meaning if they have been homeless due to just family issues or homeless because they didn't have family at all. Like it varies from a lot of things, but we're just trying to make sure that when there are bills being passed, our voices are the ones that are saying, okay, we don't believe in this bill because of this, or we believe that this bill should be passed because of this. Like, so instead of, like I said, those adult voices, we have those youth voices being leading those conversations so that we can make a difference.
Youth voices leading the conversations, right? Like, what a concept. And they're doing it so well. And so I guess this is kind of what we're here today to talk about, is because we're working with the Youth Action Board to develop a plan. And this plan is due in the next couple months to really determine where the gaps are in supporting our youth who are unsheltered or experiencing homelessness. We're really focused on our underserved communities, including our LGBTQ community, our Native American community, and individuals who live in greater North Dakota. And so we're looking to recruit more youth and young adults to be a part of this Youth Action Board. Mylinda, can you tell us a little bit about what it would take to be a part of the board, what the obligation is, what the time commitment would be? Give us a little bit of information about that.
Yep. So we are looking for people from 8 different regions, because North Dakota has 8 regions. So we're looking for people from 8 different regions who would be able to share their voice and their experience for the next year to 2 years. We do, in order, like, to apply, you can go on our Facebook page. We do have the application there. And I did put the link here too. So if you wanted to check that out, feel free. And then also our contact information is on there as well. We're looking for any individuals who are African American, of white descent, Native American, and then any LGBTQ people who have experienced homelessness too. And then anyone who's experienced homelessness that had any mental issue, mental instability. So those are like our main people that we're looking for, are focusing on, just so that we can get these groups together to be able to talk about this stuff. And then I think the last one was the educational portion, because a lot of kids do go through homelessness during the time that they're in school. And so we want to be able to have voices that will be able to reflect that as well.
Mm-hmm. Did you share the age range?
Yep. So our age range is 14 to 24, if I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's not a ton of requirements other than being like Mylinda and wanting to be at the table and really be a part of this change. And so, Mylinda, with that, I think we have a couple minutes left. What are some of your biggest takeaways? Or, you know, we've talked about it, and like, we get involved in this work because we want to make a difference, and sometimes that work is extremely difficult. But what are some of the wins, or what are some of the highlights or takeaways that you've experienced being involved in the Youth Action Board, but not only that, but some of the other organizations that you've been involved in?
My biggest takeaway is that our voices are actually being heard. I think for a very long time, there was this stigma that like kids should be seen and not heard. So it was very hard for you to, or I guess for myself, to be sitting amongst a lot of adults and be able to speak on things. And I think that with the groups that I've been working with and the different organizations that I've worked with, they've made it known that if I have something to say, they're going to listen no matter what it is. So I think that is probably the biggest takeaway out of it, is that there's change actually happening here.
I think that message is so powerful. And I know on this show, Wendy and Robert and I have talked so much about how important the community voice is and how important it is for us to step up and get involved. And so I hope that Mylinda's story was inspiring for some of you as young adults and youth to get involved in these spaces. But also, if you live in North Dakota, right, and you're like interested in joining this work, reach out and let us know. We'll be able to share out the information from here. Also, you can find information on Two Feathers Consulting. We have a Facebook page as well, so we'll share some of that information out. But thank you, Mylinda, for being here. And thank you for the work that you do. I know that I say that kind of behind closed doors, but in a more public space, I think it's fair to know that people like Mylinda step up and add more to their plate than probably what is needed. Mylinda is extremely busy along with the other youth leaders. And I'm just so grateful that we have a next generation that chooses to be involved in creating a better next generation rather than just like living with the disasters we continue to pass down to them. So thank you, Mylinda, for your work. And thank you, Robert and Wendy, for letting us come on and chat about it.
Awesome. And thank you, Heather, for being a great mentor to these awesome youth. Really appreciate it and appreciate you. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us, Wendy.
Stay with us.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me, Wen. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Navigating COVID while protecting yourself can be difficult. Fortunately, there's a hotline you can call with any questions. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on vaccines, booster shots, and testing sites. Right now, booster shots are available to anyone over the age of 18 for those who are eligible. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline can also help with housing, food, medical, and educational support. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19, vaccinations, booster shots, or testing, please call 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline at 651-304-9986.
Hello, it's Randy Rhodes. Team Randy, glad to be a part of the lineup of Progressive Voices on AM 950. Tune in, join us weeknights at 10.
Hi, everyone. AM 950 is grateful to the listeners who stepped up in the last year and helped support the radio station by becoming members. As we move forward, it's still important to help support small businesses like AM 950. We have memberships at any financial level, either a one-time donation or a recurring one, and we appreciate any support. We've already featured a lot of members-only bonus content, like the calendars, but we have more benefits coming soon. To become a member, go to am950radio.com. That's am950radio.com. Click on the Become a Member button and sign up today. Thanks from everyone at AM 950.
Hi, this is Frank Brown, owner of Minuteman Press Uptown, Minnesota's only minority-owned union printing company. But we are not just another print shop. We are a marketing and promotion company that has over 100 years of experience in helping clients not only with their printing needs, but also with their marketing strategies. We offer marketing ideals for clients from targeted direct mailings to digital geofencing. I am passionate about helping businesses grow.
Frank and his team at Minuteman Press Uptown have been great to work with. They always come with fresh marketing and promotion ideas that help us grow. But that is not the only reason I choose to work with them. Check out their Google reviews. I choose Minuteman Press Uptown because they match the values of AM 950. They pay above livable wages, stand up for social, racial, and economic justice. Call Minuteman Press Uptown at 612-870-0777 or visit mpuptown.com. See the difference they can make with your company. They print everything.
No matter what vehicle you drive, for quality care, head to Rudy Luther Toyota and get service you can trust. My last service at Rudy Luther, I got to experience the incredibly cool Hunter Quick Check Drive Inspection Service. It checked my Sienna's alignment and tire treads as I drove into the service area. Done. I got a thumbs up in the comfort of knowing my vehicle was good to go. Get maintenance you can trust and check out the service specials at RudyLutherToyota.com. For your vehicle service, it's Rudy Luther Toyota, 5 miles west of Minneapolis on 394.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for partly cloudy skies overnight with a low around 15, Tuesday sunny with a high near 41, and Wednesday cloudy with a high around 27. Cafe Latte provides a cafe dining experience with delicious gourmet quality food. Their ever-changing menu of award-winning sandwiches, salads, and soups means you're sure to find something you'll love. Cafe Latte is located off Victoria and Grand in St. Paul. Make a reservation or place a takeout order at cafelatte.com.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Well, I had Heather stay on just a little longer here and to touch base with us and talk a little bit about Monday, if she could. It sounds like an exciting show. And as you know, Wendy and I will be off this Monday, and it would be exciting. Heather, can you tell, just give a little sneak peek and, you know, keep them wanting them to come back. Tell them what's happening next Monday.
Yeah, next Monday, I'm bringing 5 powerhouse legislative women to the table with me to talk about our murdered and missing Indigenous women, murdered and missing Indigenous relatives movement, the work that we're doing regionally, why we feel it's important to do this work. And we're going to do kind of a call to action for individuals in our communities to step up and help us. So that will be Monday. I'm excited to take over. Not sure how that will work, but we're super excited about it.
Well, it'll be good. You just have to remember the commercials would be kind of just like the old days of Together with Heather, you know. So you'll do fine, and we're excited to support you in this.
Thanks. It'll be nice too because Ruth Buffalo is going to be joining She's kind of a backup host because we'll be in session and we're on floor, you know, on Mondays. And so we'll just kind of hope and see that it all works out.
Yeah, excellent. We just had her on and she was we hope it does work out too. Wendy laughed right there.
Well, you know, we are often fly by the seat of our pants during the show. And you know what? It always really works out in the end. And our listening audience know they don't know what to expect when they listen. So it's always a good fun conversation. So
yeah, well, we got TJ to come on because Ogama wasn't able to make it today, and so there you go. Hour before, we asked TJ to come on, and we're going to talk a little bit about Leonard Peltier and what's happening with that. We know we had Ruth Buffalo on just I think last Friday talking about what they were doing in North Dakota, but TJ, where else? You said earlier there was like three or four other places, and in Europe that they were having
It looked like there were banners being hung in, I want to say it was Berlin in Germany. It was in Germany for sure. And then there were speakers in New Mexico and in Florida as well today.
Heather, did you happen to sign that piece that was going around? I think Ruth was one of the authors were sent to Biden. Did you know anything about that?
I did. We actually have sent two letters now collectively, kind of with the same group of women that I talked about coming on Monday. You know, we have really worked behind the scenes collectively to try to bring a voice to our administration to address this. So this is actually the second letter we sent. The second letter was addressing the health concerns because he had contracted COVID. And we know, you know, all of the data around COVID and how detrimental that could be. And so, yes, I'm aware of it, and we have signed on to that to hopefully have a bigger impact in the voice and the need and the urgency that we're asking for this.
He's 77 years old, I believe, and he's been in prison since 1976, and he's the longest political prisoner. TJ, you made a really good point about if this happened if this trial and everything happened nowadays, what the outcome would be. Do you want to just chime in on that?
Well, it just seems, I mean, at the base level, the fact that there are so many pieces of evidence and testimony that were overlooked or coerced out of people. And by today's standards, none of that would have been a mistrial immediately, it seems like. Mm-hmm. But on top of the fact that there was no conclusive evidence that he had did what he's serving two consecutive life sentences for.
And they let the other two cats off that like right away. And he was convicted, you know, for all hearsay and all that. And, you know, if you ever read the book, I have the book and I've loaned out a couple of the books, but The Spirit of Crazy Horse, which came out in 1982. It's a real thick read, but it talks about the battle that the FBI had against the American Indian movement and especially what happened with Leonard, and also how those two FBI agents were killed and murdered and set up. And so everybody was set up, and it's really a tragic thing. And I got to just say this, Heather, it's interesting. The person that tried to assassinate Ronald Reagan's out of prison. You know, the person that shot John Lennon's out of prison. You know, these are big things that happened to me as a younger person that just blows my mind that happened after Leonard was convicted.
Mm-hmm. I think we hear this all the time. It is still illegal to be Indian in this country. You know, and I grew up in South Dakota with the background of knowing that this happens to individuals. And, you know, we just saw a year ago the insurrection of the U.S. Capitol. We have evidence of so many people who intentionally tried to create harm to our democracy. And they get like a slap on the wrist in a couple months and can be bailed out. It's just so inconsistent. You know, our policies and our standards are really set up against us, are stacked against us consistently. And I think the fact that we continuously have to beg for this case to be reviewed and we get overlooked decade after decade, it sends a clear message to us as Indigenous people that these systems are not designed for us. They're actually designed against us. But what I love is that it's, you know, in a really sad way, it's bringing so many of us together to continue to fight for what the purpose was in the 70s. You know, we're still fighting that purpose. We're still fighting to be equal in these spaces, to be seen, to have, you know, access to education, to healthcare, and all of these spaces that AIM was developed around, you know, many years ago. And so it's, in a way, it's helping to keep the movement alive, but we need our leaders to be home. Leonard Peltier was a leader in this movement, and he deserves to be home. He deserves to be with his family. He deserves to be in his community. He fought for us in a way that many of us are still trying to find the courage to do. And so we'll forever be grateful for him and his sacrifice. But it is far past due, and it is time for him to go home with his family.
Heather, can I segue with, I really appreciate that, by the way. That will be a shortcut we're going to use for a promo of our show. But in a really weird way, we have 1,000 water protectors arrested, and then you talk about the 2000 or January 6th. I mean, just the polar opposites. We're trying to protect water, and they're trying to burn down the government.
Yeah, I mean, we could go on and on, right, about these examples that we see the differences in how different populations are treated in a system that is supposedly designed to be very fair. And it's just not. And so I think it's fair to recognize and call out that this is having generational impacts as well. You know, I always talk about boarding schools, and we talk about, you know, the incidences like this. But the fact that our justice system is set up this way and continuing to hold our generational leaders in prison for protecting us, I mean, sends a clear message continuously.
It's interesting that you bring that up, boarding schools. We talk about that at least a couple times a week. But 60 Minutes did a nice piece. I don't know if anybody saw that last night on boarding schools. I suggest everyone take a look at it. Anderson Cooper was the interviewee, and he interviewed a few people from he told the whole story, basically, and then interviewed some people from Canada and the United States that were boarding school people that were in boarding schools, and talked about the trauma that we all talk about, Heather.
Yeah, I mean, it's also not that long ago. You know, people talk about boarding schools as if they were thousands of years ago. I mean, I think in perspective, my uncles were part of forced boarding schools. Like, people are still living today that experience that horrific trauma. And so it's not so far gone. It's still recent history. And it's got a dramatic impact on our generations now. And I think we'll have massive impacts on our generations to the future. And so Leonard and his story is similar to that. You know, it's having generational impacts, and we need to fix these systems. And it starts with, you know, stepping up and continuously being part of these movements.
Yeah, we had, to segue a little bit, you know, here in the Twin Cities, we had another brown person murdered by the police. And, I mean, it is just unbelievable that anybody has been murdered since George Floyd, and yet we've had two huge murders here in the Twin Cities since George Floyd. Heather, I mean, what can we do? I mean, I know there's boots on the ground tonight, and there'll be constantly will be doing this for this young man.
You know what, Robert? This is one of the hardest parts of the job. I mean, this job is really hard in general, but, you know, we worked so hard last year to bring awareness to the danger of no-knock warrants for everybody involved. You know, it also is protecting our law enforcement along with the individuals on the other side of that door. And we talked about it, and it's so exhausting to know that this is an issue, to know this is creating potential harm in our community, and not being able to address it, and then seeing lives lost because of it. It's devastating. It weighs really hard on our hearts. I know the first week of session for many were like, hey, yay, you're back. And for us, it's just devastating. You know, we do this work to try to make massive impacts and really to try to save lives in the work that we do. And to see these things play out, you know, with the child that was killed in front of the school, like we'd been reaching out. We heard that the school had been reaching out for months around mental health support, but we're mm-hmm. so underfunded in those education systems that we can't even do that for our kids. You know, we have to look at our kids holistically. We have to look at our systems holistically, and we're just failing in so many areas. And so, yeah, it's a tragedy and it's awful and it continues to happen. And it's like the definition of insanity is thinking you're going to change something, but continue to do the same exact actions over and over and over. And we just have to do better. We have to step up and we have to do better. And I also think that it's a call that, you know, we need leaders in these seats that are going to have the courage to step up and actually do something about it. Being neutral in these spaces is detrimental to the outcome of our next generations. And so if you know individuals who are passionate about this, if this is igniting you, if this is the one thing that now has pushed you over the edge, now is the time to step up and get involved. You know, step outside yourself, your comfort zone, challenge yourself a little bit and get involved in spaces. The marches are great. You know, we bring awareness to this. We show support to the family. Those are needed, but we need to make massive changes to these systems and we need leaders that are courageous enough to do that.
Wow. Well said. You are always a gift to have on our show, Heather. You're always welcome. And, well, you'll be taking over the show Monday, so we're proud of you. We'll be right back after this short break. Thank you, State Representative Heather Keeler.
Stay with us.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Don't let COVID spoil winter fun for your family. Get a vaccine or booster. COVID-19 vaccines are safe, effective, free for everyone, and are now available for anyone over the age of 5. Booster shots are also recommended for everyone 12 and older if it's been more than 5 months since your previous vaccination. To get more tips, schedule your vaccine, or get tested, visit ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine. That's ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine.
Ugh, things are feeling so empty and lonely. I wish I could still see my friends.
Oh, hi, Mark. How have you been?
I don't know, dude. Things have just been, I don't know, actually. It's been many different things. I've mostly just felt alone.
Yeah, I know that feeling all too well, man. But things are starting to look up.
Huh? Oh, yeah, how so?
Well, they're coming out with new vaccines. We could finally see our friends again.
Yeah, I've heard of those, but I just don't know where to get them.
Well, you can get them at a vaccination clinic.
This message is brought to you by McGeezy Communications and Minnesota Department of Health.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. Howl!
Ooh, I don't, TJ's not howling. What's up? Go ahead. Howl!
The howl right. Can be intimidating.
That's right. All right, Wendy. Yeah, wow. We're really awesome to have everybody here. TJ, thanks for stopping in. And you know, of course, State Representative Heather Keeler and her guest, just a powerhouse. And now we're going to be talking about our sacred animals, which are our relatives. Wendy, welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani, and that means cares for them. And I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. And as always, Curtis, I thank you on every show for that beautiful name you gave me. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. And what else? Oh, I am a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. A couple of weeks ago, I think it's about a month now, I had an update about a rare Steller's eagle that it was spotted in Massachusetts, and now this bird is in Maine. And the latest update we got here is from the Boston Globe, dated January 25th, 2022 at 5:20 p.m. And that was the last time that the Steller's eagle was, spotted. So a rare Steller's sea eagle is now making itself at home in Maine, officials said. The bird was spotted in December near the Taunton River in Massachusetts, Wildlife Authority said. It was last spotted south of Booth Bay Harbor, Maine, I think about 2 weeks ago, and was reported flying west over the Indiantown Preserve across the Sheepscot River, according to the post on the Maine Audubon's website. The rare bird has a wingspan of up to 8 feet and can weigh from anywhere from 13 to 20 pounds. The eagle isn't native to New England. It is native to eastern Russia and Korean Peninsula and northern Japan, according to Audubon. And there are only 3,600 to 4,700 birds, according to the International Union for Conservation of Nature's Red List of Threatened Species. This particular eagle was spotted in Alaska on the Denali Highway in August of 2020, according to the Anchorage Daily News. Since then, it's been seen in several spots across North America, including in New Brunswick, Quebec, and Nova Scotia, Canada, and Massachusetts, according to Field and Stream magazine. Doug Hitchcock, a staff naturalist at Maine Audubon, said there were certain similarities between the eagle's typical habitat and the coast of Maine. Hitchcock tracks the bird's whereabouts on the organization's website. These areas along Maine's coast are similar enough to the habitat this bird would or should be using in coastal Japan that the eagle is about as at home as it could be, despite being on the wrong continent, Hitchcock said in an email statement. He explained that the area where the eagle has been staying has plenty of fish and waterfowl to hunt, meaning as long as it's finding the resources it needs, it'll probably stick around. Hitchcock said the bird has attracted many curious visitors. He estimated over 1,500 people came to see the bird in the first week in Maine. This is a dream come true for birders, Hitchcock said. So this is a really unbelievable bird. You could, if you're watching us on Facebook, you could see he's in a tree next to a crow, and you could really see the big difference in size with this animal. He has a big giant orange beak also. The largest sea eagle is the Steller sea eagle. The only sea eagle of North America is the bald eagle. The Steller's sea eagle is considered vulnerable. The population is decreasing as far as its endangered species status. The Steller's sea eagle is a close relative to the bald eagle, and it is possible that this large bird could pair with a bald eagle and attempt to nest in Massachusetts or another state or province along the Atlantic coast. I would really like, and you know what? I looked over and over and over again, and I cannot nobody tells me whether this bird is a male or a female. So I'm going to go and do a little bit more research to see if I could find that answer. But I would really love to see this Stellar's eagle be able to mate with a bald eagle. And I'm wondering what kind of bird that would look like. In the wild, Stellar's eagles would usually live up to 20 to 25 years. So these birds are around for a long time. These birds have an average speed of flying speed of 30 to 50 kilometers per hour. I should have looked up the conversion to miles per hour, but I didn't. Stellar's sea eagles are monogamous and form long-lasting pair bonds. Courtship usually occurs between February and March and consists of a soaring flight above the breeding area. I think that's the same way our bald eagles here in the north mate as well. These birds nest on large rocky outcroppings or at the top of large seas on the coast and alongside large rivers with mature trees. A Stellar's sea eagle can carry about 3 to 4 pounds. So they are very strong birds. The male is much smaller than the females and will weigh in between 11 and 13 pounds. So I'll keep an update on this Stellar's eagle. I think it's pretty exciting that this bird that belonged in, you know, Russia and Japan is here in the United States. And there's lots of birders out there who are really excited and going there, like traveling miles and miles and miles to see this, even just get a glimpse of this beautiful bird. So thank you, wow. Robert. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about the Stellar's sea eagle.
Perfect. Hey, I just want to ask TJ how it was to be first time on Native Roots Radio before we sign off. How did it go, TJ? I'm going to unmute you here. Oh, you got you. How did it go? How do you feel?
So far, so good. Making sure that I do my reading. Get my brain ready.
Hey, well, the show's over.
That's how fast it goes.
That's how fast it went. It's just like that. It's crazy. Well, we had Heather stay on a little longer than she planned, so it was good, and we got to talk a little bit about Leonard, but it was also great to have you on and help us navigate why Ogama's not with us today. And our prayers are out to her. She's doing good. We just thought it would be good to give her a day off, and TJ stepped in and really helped us out with the conversation about Leonard and some news. So, TJ, Pinigigi for helping us out. All right. Hey, you've been listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Wyke, and if you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. We're still here, Wendy. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier. Stop line 3. Please get vaccinated and boosted.